The title of this conference is Developing Our Positive and Negative Shadow. Many psychologists claim that the average person actualizes and develops only about 20% of the total potential of our human nature. This 80% of undeveloped potential is what we call the shadow or the human unconscious. This shadow is both positive and negative. The positive side is the potential for good, which we have not yet actualized and used in our conscious life. The negative side is the potential for evil, for sin and crime that lies hidden in each of our unconscious. It is one of the tasks of a spiritual director to help the directee become aware and conscious of both the positive and negative shadow, and then assist the directee in developing the positive potential for good and transforming the energy of the negative shadow into love. The shadow, then, is our undeveloped, unintegrated, unconscious psychic energy, which is laying fallow beneath the surface of our consciousness. This energy is alive and will become activated either for good or evil, either to benefit us and others or to harm us and others. When we make the effort to discover our shadow and relate to it, we enlist its help in some useful cause. This psychic energy then becomes a divine grace and an aid that comes to us from outside ourselves, namely from God. It becomes the work of the Holy Spirit or even the Holy Spirit himself. Whereas when we repress and neglect or refuse to integrate the energies of the shadow, this psychic energy turns into Satan or a demon that does harm to us and others, that seeks to destroy us and to work against us. And therefore, the same psychic energy can be both Holy Spirit and Satan, depending upon whether we integrate it or neglect it and allow it to grow wild. When this psychic energy first arises out of the unconscious and begins to knock at the door of one of our functions for admittance, we call it the shadow. If we take the trouble and make the effort to integrate it into our conscious life, it becomes a divine grace. Whereas if we neglect to integrate it and repress it, then it wanders around aimlessly in the unconscious for a while. If it is still neglected and left unused, then sooner or later it teams up with other neglected, unused psychic energies, and it becomes a veritable demon that begins to wreak its vengeance on us and on others. The longer we fail to integrate these graces as they rise up out of the unconscious, the more powerful they become, since they team up with other unused psychic energies. Shadow, therefore, is the generic term we use for psychic energy which is below the level of consciousness and is knocking for admittance into our conscious life. The shadow becomes a grace and a force for good when properly used. That same shadow becomes a demon and a destructive force when we fail to use it. These psychic energies do not knock for admittance into conscious life all at the same time, but there is a purposeful direction to their attempts to seek admittance into conscious life. It is clear that there is someone behind these psychic energies choosing the particular time and the particular energy that now wishes to become conscious. We may call this person the Holy Spirit who dwells within us. These psychic energies seek to enter by the four doorways of the four functions of sensing, intuition, thinking, and feeling. However, they more often succeed in getting our attention and entering into consciousness by way of the two lower functions, what we call the tertiary and the inferior functions, since these are the two least guarded doorways of our soul. There is a net that our ego stretches across the opening between conscious life and the unconscious. This is essential for living a balanced, conscious, sane life. Otherwise, the contents of the unconscious are so powerful that they would overflow and obliterate consciousness. And this is what happens in a psychosis. There are in this net between the conscious life and the unconscious certain weak spots where the ego does not have the same ability to hold back the contents of the unconscious. And those two weakest spots are the tertiary and the inferior function. During sleep, the ego no longer is able to guard these doorways to the unconscious. And therefore, all four of the functions are able to speak to us and to be able to offer their different energies that are available to us by means of dreams. Modern psychological research into the unconscious leads to the conclusion that everything in our unconscious spiritual inner being seeks and desires to become conscious. It would seem that human consciousness adds a new dimension to spirit. This new dimension of consciousness would seem to be the primary contribution that we human beings can make to God's overall plan of salvation. However, there is a proper time and order to the task of making the unconscious conscious. The psychic spiritual energies of the unconscious apparently partake of the infinite power of God Himself. Therefore, they can easily overpower and drown out consciousness if no barrier is erected between these two areas of being, our consciousness and the unconscious. A mad, insane, psychotic person is one who has lost or never erected the necessary barriers between the conscious and the unconscious. This is indeed a grave tragedy which prevents wholeness and maturity. But there is an equally serious tragedy at the opposite end of the spectrum when a person succeeds in erecting a totally impenetrable wall between consciousness and our unconscious shadow. The result is a vegetable existence, one totally lacking in vitality and creativity. Our unconscious inner being, our shadow, or if you wish, our soul, is the source of all life and energy. Wholeness and maturity consist of a balanced tension between these two opposite poles of consciousness and unconsciousness. The four psychological functions of sensation, intuition, thinking, and feeling are the four doorways by which the psychic energies of the unconscious enter into conscious life. This entrance takes place whenever we succeed in activating the transcendent dimension of one or the other of the four functions. This transcendent dimension is what we call the symbol-making dimension of our inner life. The unconscious may use apparently English words or words of the vernacular in speaking to us, but without exception almost, it speaks in symbolic language. And so we have to have the ability to interpret these symbols that the shadow uses to relate to our conscious life and to give us the insights and the energy that we need to carry on our conscious life. And here is where a spiritual director needs to be able to help the directee to translate these symbols that come up out of the unconscious in order to determine what is the direction that God wishes us to go with our conscious life as a result of this speaking by the Holy Spirit to us through our shadow. A symbol makes use of an earthly experience to give us an insight and experience of God and the things which exist on the same transcendental level where God exists. And that is why we call this symbol-making power of the unconscious the transcendent dimension. We cannot consciously or deliberately invent a symbol. It is something that just happens, that is given to us. It comes out of the unconscious. However, we need to make ourselves consciously aware of the symbol when it occurs and try to translate it and interpret it in language or in ideas that we understand. Otherwise, it comes and goes without any benefit to us and our relationship with God. The symbol may be a word, for example, the words of Scripture, an idea, for example, the teachings that Jesus Christ gives us in the Gospels, an insight, an event, or a situation that suddenly plunges us into the transcendental level of reality where God dwells. The ability of each of the four functions, sensing, intuition, thinking, and feeling, to lift us up to the transcendental or the numinous or divine level of reality is what we call its transcended dimension. It is the task of prayer to make us consciously aware of the symbols that come to us out of the unconscious, and it is thus that we will be able to make use of our shadow, of those energies that are just waiting and ready and inviting themselves to become conscious. During prayer, we should deliberately choose to make our minds and our hearts, our attention and our whole being open to this transcendental level of reality. We try to blot out all worldly distractions and give our undivided attention to God, to God's power, to God's presence, to God's truth, to God's love, to God's beauty, to God's goodness, to God's peace, to God's unity. All of these are some of the transcendental qualities that exist in God. And any first-hand experience of these transcendentals is truly an experience of God Himself. And when we do experience them, we feel ourselves lifted up out of our earthly existence, and we begin to participate in that transcendental level of reality, namely the life of God. And the instrument or the means that God uses to lift us up to this higher level is the symbol. This instrument will differ with each of the four function. So let us take a look at some of the symbols that the shadow uses to make itself known to us and to guide us in the particular direction that God wishes us to take. First of all, the function of sensing. When the transcendent dimension of sensing is activated, we will be able to experience God's power and beauty and love and God's presence, God's peace and goodness by means of some sensible experience. For example, music, a sunrise, a waterfall, the ocean, a mountain, a flower, a tree, or even the rain or the fog, which can symbolize the mystery of God. This all is able to give us a new experience of the infinite power and love and goodness and beauty of God. This transcended dimension of sensing gives us a symbol that puts us in touch with God and with one or the other of those transcendental qualities of God. Such an experience will make God more real to us and will aid our relationship with God. And this, of course, is the whole purpose of prayer. The intuitive faculty or function, which we call the sixth sense, is that function that enables us to look ahead from the present, to become a visionary, and to be able to have a more or less a clear picture of the direction we should go in the future. It's any of those sudden insights or inspirations that enables us the better to understand and appreciate any spiritual reality, such as love, justice, peace, mercy, goodness, beauty, truth, wisdom, and so on. This insight may come by reflecting on a word or a phrase or a passage of the Bible. It may suddenly come to our attention without any previous effort. While we are listening to some music or just taking a walk or engaged in some kind of leisure activity. The third function or faculty of thinking operates in a symbolic way by giving us a common denominator that ties together two or more things that on the surface seem to be totally different or even contradictory. And through a symbol that is given to us that comes out of the thinking function, that part of the unconscious that has greater wisdom than our conscious intellect, that suddenly helps us to see how it all fits together. And finally, the fourth function of feeling. This is the function that enables us to experience a direct personal relationship of love with God or with another human being or with the whole of creation. This function enables us to experience God's love for us and our love for God, or our love for another person or another person's love for us. To understand the reasons for developing our shadow, we need also to understand the concept of wholeness. The quality of wholeness is present in an individual when one's mind and body and emotions are fully developed, and when one's life's goals are in accord with the dictates of one's inner being. Wholeness is that quality or state of being where a person, a nation, an organization, or an event, or a relationship has all the proper and necessary components that are organized and channeled in undivided unity. Some of the synonyms to express wholeness would be integrity, completeness, maturity, or sanctity. Wholeness is the condition where there is the proper order and the right priorities, where God and God's will are given the first place, where self-interest and the interests of others are kept in the right perspective, where concern for the present and the future are given due consideration. And this can happen only if we have learned how to make contact with our unconscious shadow and have learned the language of symbols by which the shadow speaks to us and have learned how to to make use of those insights, of those energies that keep knocking on the door of consciousness and asking for admission. We must never forget, however, that not all of the shadow is good. Carl Jung once remarked that 80% of the shadow is gold ore, waiting to be mined and refined by our conscious faculties. But there is still another 20%, which we might call original sin. That this is a part of the shadow that we have inherited from all the previous generations. And some of that shadow are things that are positive and good, and other parts of what we have inherited from the past, which we call original sin, are negative and evil. However, it is possible to take even the negative shadow and to be able to transform the energy behind it into the energy of love. But this requires great self-discipline, great unselfishness, and a lot of hard work. And it is the task of the spiritual director to help the directee, first of all, to become aware of the shadow, to accept ownership for both the positive and the negative sides of the shadow, which means to accept ownership for those inclinations to evil of the negative shadow, those unconscious faults that perhaps other people are aware of, but very often the person who has them is unaware. The shadow becomes a grace and an immense force for good when properly used, but the same shadow becomes a terribly destructive force when we fail to put it to good use. Jung once remarked, when we leave things entirely to the unconscious shadow, they get done, but they are done against us instead of for us. Therefore, we must learn how to rule the shadow, otherwise it will rule us. For example, the psychic energy behind anger and violence is actually the same energy that can be used in loving service of others. And so we need to make use of our conscious efforts to, first of all, to bring that energy, that inclination to evil of our negative shadow out into the open, to admit ownership to it, and then find a conscious way, not of repressing or denying that energy, but of transforming that energy and changing the direction of that energy so that it becomes the energy of love. Therefore, one of the most important tasks of life, one of the most important parts of the spiritual guidance that a director gives to the directee, is to help that directee to redeem one's shadow. We may think of the repressed portions of our psyche as being in captivity and awaiting release from imprisonment. And so each of us has a moral responsibility to find a way of unlocking the doors of the prison and bringing that shadow out into the open and redeeming it, releasing it from its imprisonment, but finding a way to use it in a positive, loving way. The shadow becomes evil only when that part of it which divine providence or the Holy Spirit wills to become conscious, and yet we repress it and deny it conscious expression. It is also dangerous and psychologically unhealthy to activate a part of our shadow before the right time. God always gives just sufficient psychic energy each day to handle that part of the shadow which is ready to be gathered into consciousness and put to good use in loving service to God, to neighbor, and to self. Repression of this ripe shadow may be due to pure ignorance. We may not be aware of the existence of the shadow or how to recognize its appearance. We may not be familiar with this language of symbols. Or the repression of our shadow may be due to laziness or the unwillingness to change our accustomed ways of living. If we are open to the shadow, it means that we must constantly be open to making changes in our present conscious life. The willingness to slay our darlings, to sacrifice our Isaacs, to give up our addictions, the willingness to strike out in a new direction, to let go of the past, these are all a part of the messages that we can expect that this unconscious shadow to be constantly bombarding us, provided we are open to it. And the place to be open to it is primarily during our personal prayer time. Sometimes the repression of the energies of the shadow are due to a deep fear of the unknown and the consequences that may result from using the energies of the shadow, of being too attached to the status quo, or the repression may be due to pure malice, the unwillingness to sacrifice one's freedom and independence for the sake of the higher will of God. Most of the time, our motives are mixed, with some good reasons and some not so good reasons. Regardless of the motives for repressing the shadow, all of us have a responsibility to be open to discovering that shadow and developing it in order to attain the wholeness and the destiny to which we have been called. Wholeness always presumes a balance or polarity between opposite poles. And the most basic of all of these polarities that we must during our earthly life keep in a balanced tension is that between conscious life and the unconscious shadow. This will occur only to the extent that we make an effort to discover what part of the shadow God wills to become conscious, and then strive consciously to use the newly discovered energies in a productive, creative way, probably more than in any other area of our relationship with God. A director needs to have a good working knowledge of Jungian psychology in order to be able to help the directees to make proper use of the energy of their shadow and to show them how they can be open to that energy during their personal prayer life each day. This is the end of the conference.